Women should be silent in the church. If there's anything they want to know, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. That scripture is often put forward to illustrate what a chauvinist St. Paul was. But modern scripture scholars, using sophisticated methods of textual analysis, offer convincing arguments to demonstrate that the offensive remark is a later interpolation. In other words, some other church leader slipped it in after Paul's death. In any case, it's a mercy that we never hear it at Mass. It's not found either in our weekday or our Sunday lectionary. However, an even more cringeworthy citation is, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church." That repugnant comment is from the letter to the Ephesians, and we hear it every third year at Sunday Mass. Nevertheless, despite the lector's assertion that it is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, modern scholars have pretty well established that Paul did not write any part of that letter. Instead, his name was appended to it later on to lend it greater authority. On the other side of the aisle, so to speak, there are those who fancy Paul to be a champion of equality between the sexes, citing that lyrical phrase from his letter to the Galatians, "There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Those who promote Paul as egalitarian based on that quotation are either disingenuous or merely inept at scriptural interpretation. In that passage, Paul is simply making the point that our relationship with God does not depend on compliance with the Torah, the law. Rather, with respect to God, all distinctions of preference, including those based on ethnicity, race, social status, and gender, are overcome through baptism into Christ. It's not an insignificant theological point that Paul is making here, but it's hardly a salvo in favor of women's liberation. While it may be difficult to disentangle the competing threads of thought snipped from Paul's letters, it's still important, I think, to try to understand how he related to women. He is, after all, one of the preeminent leaders of the early church, and he exercised an immense influence on how the church developed pastorally, spiritually, and theologically. Rather than parsing his letters, however, I think a more fruitful approach might be to consider the New Testament evidence about how Paul actually related to women. This morning's first reading, for instance, finds Paul engaged in a conversation about Jesus with a group of women. Only one of the women is identified, Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. That laconic reference to her business, by the way, is not a trifling aside. It identifies her as a merchant of luxury goods. The labor-intensive production of purple dye from the shells of sea snails, of all things, was so difficult and expensive that it restricted access to purple goods exclusively to the very wealthy. Were she alive today, Lydia would probably be the Macedonian regional dealer for Louis Vuitton articles. In today's episode, St. Luke further relates how, after listening to Paul's passionate pitch about Jesus, this savvy businesswoman, along with her whole household, jumped at the chance to be baptized. Immediately afterwards, she prevailed upon Paul to come and stay at her house. Eventually, Lydia became the head of the local church, which continued to meet at her home. Lydia wasn't the only head of a house church either. Next Saturday, in our reading from Acts, we'll meet a woman named Prisca and her husband Aquila. On two different occasions, Paul makes reference to, quote, "the church that meets in their house," end quote. In addition, Paul celebrates the couple as co-workers who worked hard in the Lord, and he acknowledges their partnership with him in establishing the church in Ephesus. Another leader Paul esteems is Phoebe, whom he describes as, quote, our sister who is deacon of the church of Kenchre, end quote. Phoebe is the only woman Paul recognizes with that title, diakonos. To be honest, we're not sure what the term meant at the time Paul wrote it. Ministry positions like deacon, priest, and bishop were not as clearly delineated as they are today. What is clear, however, is that they were all recognized as positions of leadership in the community. Moreover, in the following verse, Paul calls Phoebe a prostatus. Bible translators usually render this uncommon word, this is the only instance in which it is used in the New Testament, as helper or benefactor. But in its root meaning, the word prostatus signifies someone who is standing in the first position or standing above others. In that sense, it could mean that Phoebe was the leader of the Christian community at Kenchre, or the benefactor who bankrolled all their ministries, or a spiritual mentor for others. In any case, both words, diakonos and prostatus, signal Paul's estimation of Phoebe as a significant co-leader. These three examples suggest that throughout his ministry, Paul was able to engage positively with women. He recognized their call to ministry and acknowledged their positions of leadership within the community. In this, he provides a good model for collaboration today. And yet, although our church honors him so admiringly, we refuse to follow in Paul's footsteps. It's painful, isn't it, to watch as our church stubbornly squanders so much energy, talent, and grace in our refusal to welcome equal partnership with women in ministry and leadership. In these remaining days before Pentecost, let us ask Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Lydia, Prisca, and Phoebe, as well as the other women whom the New Testament describes as leaders in the early church, Evodia and Syntyche, Nympha, Mary, the mother of John Mark, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, and Junia, and all our sisters who have gone before us marked with the sign of faith, to pray with us for a new outpouring of God's liberating spirit upon our church today. May God bless you and give you health.